Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going to sit in for the full half hour. Briscoe, you're not getting off easy today. I need you for a full 30 minutes to break down how much Bo Nix is ass.
I'll tell you what, we need more time than that, probably. I don't know if this half hour is going to be enough. I've never believed in a five-game winning streak like the Broncos have had less than I do right now. An Eagles win is legit impressive. Everything since then feels like smoke and mirrors.
Legitimately, and I understand that like somebody in Denver is going to pull this clip and they're going to play this if the Chiefs lose to the Broncos in 10 days from now. But I watched the Denver Broncos play, and you cannot convince me that they are going to beat Kansas City 10 days from now, knowing what they are on offense. I respect their defense. I understand how good Nick Benito is. I will say the Raiders have one of the worst offensive line in football. But what you said, they beat the Jets 13-11, followed it up with trailed by 19 and eked out against the Giants 33-32. Beat the hell out of Dallas. Kudos. Barely beat Houston 18-15. Beat the Raiders last night 10-7 in a game in which they had 35 sacks and a blocked punt and still only managed 10 points. I can't take – Bo Nix doesn't look good.
No, it's because he's not. I'm not even as confident as you are in what this means for next week, because I think the Chiefs also occupy this space. What I did last night was I tweeted out that run of the schedule, and said I've never been less impressed by a stretch of 5-0 football. And somebody on Twitter sent back the Chiefs run last year: Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, and Texans, as if that wasn't exactly my point. Like, I remember that from last year. We talked about that last year. I'm standing by exactly my original statement here. These five games from the Broncos, if you watch the football games and you leave those games with confidence in the Denver Broncos, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know that that translates to success for the Chiefs. The Broncos have played all of these tight, close games, these fourth quarter comebacks against a bunch of these crappy teams. And if you told me that the Chiefs Broncos is going to be tied 17 in the fourth quarter next week, I'd say sure. Yeah, no, why wouldn't it be? Because the Chiefs also will do that. Like, we've seen them time and time again. They'll hang around with a bad team, or they'll let a bad quarterback have a good day, or their offense will sputter at a bad time. I think that's totally on the table. The Broncos beating the Chiefs next week would make me feel terrible things about the Chiefs. It wouldn't make me respect the Broncos a whole lot more. Like, I think they deserve to be favored in the AFC West. And if they win the AFC West, good for them. But I cannot wait to pick against them to lose a home game in the playoffs.
Well, I guess part of it is just, this is why I still think the Chiefs have a good shot at the AFC West. I don't blame people for saying the Broncos will win it. They got a two-game advantage halfway through the year. That is a nice size advantage. The Chiefs can erase it by just beating them.
Yes.
Like, it is gone, and they have the tiebreakers, and they're the lead team simply by just beating Denver. And while they do get a mini-bye, I do think there's an advantage in the fact that Andy Reid got to sit down there for the entire game last night and scout what Denver's doing and spend the rest of the bye week figuring out and self-scouting where their problems are. If you were the Chiefs, by the way, where do you think your single biggest self-scout area is? Is it, How do we figure out to get more pass rush? Is it, what do we do with linebackers and coverage? Like, where are you spending your time, I guess, in the self-scout this week?
I think starting with, like, not the actual answer, but just one thing that I think we have to mention, I think the biggest offensive thing against Buffalo was that the offensive line started breaking down, yeah. And it was a thinned out Bills unit, so that's still pretty concerning, but Josh Simmons is back at the facilities, and Trey Smith has a week to not play football and try to get healthier, as does Juwan Taylor. By the end of that game, Creed Humphrey was the only healthy starter. Like, Kingsley even left and came back and all that. So I'm not panicking on the O-line. I think what we saw before the Bills game, I think that still stands on its own. I think the biggest issue is the pass rush, and frankly, it's the only move that around the trade deadline that I really did think they would make some sort of move to add another body in there. And I don't think that losing Broderick Martin off of the practice squad is like a huge deal, but it's kind of funny that like one of their available practice squad defensive tackles got poached after the trade deadline by the Steelers. And now the Chiefs are just here with Mike Pennell reunion time and the power of friendship, I guess. Because the pass rush collectively has just hasn't been an impactful unit. And I think we saw against Buffalo what happened. Patrick Mahomes, as unbelievably excellent as he is, he is human when pressured. Josh Allen, yes, as flawed as he can be, looks superhuman when he's never pressured. So I know that it ends up being like kind of one of the full circle things with football analysis, where it's like, you know, penalties and turnovers and pressuring the quarterback. But you get to the other side of that bell curve and you go, well, it's kind of penalties and pressuring the quarterback and not turning the ball over. So my biggest concern the rest of the way is the pass rush. I don't know if that's even the right answer to your self-scouting question, because I don't know what they're going to scout out. Like, if they take this bye week and they look at their pass rush and go, oh, man, we really need another body here. Well, it's too late. That realization should have come several weeks ago. And whatever was on the market, obviously, they weren't that interested in it.
It's a little bit like the Royals offseason, where I think that, like, some of their problems and, like, how do we fix the offenses? Well, Jack Caglione just has to hit. And so, right, like, for the Chiefs, it's a little bit of Charles Omenihu has got to be better, and he has been better in the second half. In a weird way, with Chris Jones, though, I feel like less playing time would be more. As in, maybe it's not time. And I know Spags will just, like, maybe it's not time to have him play 81% of the snaps. And instead, right, save him for those pivotal moments if you think the team can keep it close. And maybe a fresh Chris Jones has a better chance of getting the quarterback. I don't know what that means. Probably means more Leo Chenal on the line or more Jaden Hicks and less linebacker heavy units, but like, it does feel like they're going to have to mix and match in a way that they haven't so far.
I'll add to that by noting, you know, everybody talks about George Karloftis's motor and how relentless he is and his effort and how much he's on the field and all of that. Chris Jones has played 4 fewer snaps this year than George Karloftis. George Karloftis has officially played 414 defensive snaps, and Chris Jones has played 410. And those guys don't win the same way. They're not the same type of player. They're not the same age. So I am with you on that, where I think we should probably be having a little bit of a Travis Kelce-esque conversation with Chris Jones of, yeah, like, hey, man, can somebody else take a little bit of this burden? And some of the stats, some of the advanced stats on Karloftis' pressure numbers have been really good. And I got to say, that is radicalizing me against certain pressure stats, because I've watched these football games and at no point and this also can include Chris Jones, no one is taking over in the pass rush. Karloftis isn't doing that. Chris Jones isn't doing that. I don't expect anybody else to do that. You want a play from Omenihu, Dana. You wanted a play from Omar Norman-Lott. Obviously, he's out of the picture now. Weston Gilardi, I suppose. He's gotten more playing time, which is good to see. Just him getting more into the swing of things. But I think all of those guys, you just need a play or two here or there, and that ultimately raises the level of your unit as a whole. I think we need some takeover snaps from Jones and Karloftis. And I do think, yeah, this has been a step down for Jones so far this year, and I also still think he's their best pass rusher by a pretty healthy margin.
Look, it's fun. Like, I think Karloftis, like, all the stats say that he's been around. Like, it's not – he's just, I don't know, some of this is, look at how he's paid amongst other elite defensive ends who have been paid. Look at his numbers, and he is, he's a good deal. He's a perfectly fine defensive end that a lot of teams would be happy to have on their roster. He is not Myles Garrett, and he's never been Myles Garrett. He's probably never going to be Myles Garrett. And so that part is just like something I think sometimes we don't accept is, I can accept that Nick Bolton isn't good in coverage. I know that. I know the things he's good at and the things he's not. What I've noticed more, and this is where I really want Spags to be in his bag, is I feel like, unfortunately, lately this season, there's been a couple of times where I think teams have taken advantage of Spags' loyalty, of sticking with personnel groups, and they're starting to take advantage of some of that better than they had in years past. So, like, I think in the self-scout for Spags, he's got to figure out different personnel groups. Otherwise, teams will continue to take advantage of some of the coverage issues.
I agree with that, and I think the Bills game ultimately comes at a good time, I suppose, from like that self-scouting perspective, because it's as tough of a game as Drew Tranquil's had in a very long time. And a couple of those big plays, like one he fell over and one he got picked up in a pick. So, like, I don't know if that means he can't play pro football anymore, but it was a tough game for him, and I think you have to look at a guy like Jaden Hicks and figure out, is there a role for him where maybe he can, with a little bit of speed and a little bit of youth there, can he bridge that gap in some to some extent? Like you said, I don't think you can ask more of most of these players. I think a lot of these guys are in the roles that they're in for specific reasons. Like, it's trying to accentuate their strengths and limit their weaknesses. That's a very tough way to continue living when you're not getting an absolutely elite effort from Chris Jones, when you're not getting a true defensive end disruptor year from George Karlaftis to this point, when the secondary has been very, very good, especially the corner, Trent McDuffie. Yeah. Is still excellent. Jalen Watson has been very good this year. Noah Williams in the mix. Like, I think we've seen reasons to be optimistic about that. But Shamari Connor's playing every snap. Nick Bolton's playing every snap. Those aren't Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Those are not perfect players. And so I do think that there's a little bit of just trying to scheme around your limitations that Spags has been unbelievable at. I just think it's even harder to do that when you're not getting the pass rush. Getting a pass rush speeds everything up so much that quarterbacks don't have time to pick on their favorite matchup or to let a play unravel over such a period of time that they find somebody just bursting open downfield. Without the pass rush, all of the degree of difficulty just raises so, so much.
Am I allowed to say, like, so I'm going to say something critical of Patrick Mahomes. What do I have to say before so that people don't think I've lost my mind that he's not the best quarterback in the NFL?
My name is Alex Gold and...
Yeah, so... My name's Alex Gold, and I've got a problem with something Patrick Mahomes does. Look, he's amazing. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's one of the single greatest quarterbacks to ever live. Last season, he got, it's not the yips, but the pressure got to him that he started leaving pockets too early and making uncommon mistakes because he mentally felt pressure that wasn't there. I saw that in the last game against the Bills in a couple of snaps. And I was like, boy, you snapped into that real quick. And I was like, why did you go back to that Patrick Mahomes so fast? They only pressured you just this one time this year. And that always concerns me a little. Like, why did he go to let's abandon clean pocket mode in a couple of snaps so fast when he's had the protection this year? It felt like one game was enough for him to be like, I better get out of here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's totally fair, and I think that it's also jarring because he has looked so comfortable this year, even with Jalen Moore coming in for Josh Simmons. I absolutely agree. I think that's the right takeaway from the Bills game, and I think it's the most sort of jarring difference from what's happened through the first half of the season before that. I do think that you look back at last year, and it's very easy to understand how and why that happened, right? Because if you do just stay in the pocket, you do just let things happen around you, you're taking four more sacks a game than you're currently taking. Like, Mahomes is unbelievable. I know you know this. Like, Mahomes is unbelievable on the move, on the run, outside of the pocket, and continuing to create. But the fine line I think you want to draw is that when there is just not a free rusher, but when there is a flash of color that you will see out of the corner of your eye on the offensive line, you want Mahomes to be able to trust, like, oh, that's going to get picked up, or I'm going to have a little bit longer because Kingsley or Creed or Trey Smith, if it's from the interior, they're going to die a slow death, and they're going to make sure that I have just enough time to get this ball up. And Mahomes takes a ton of hits when throwing the football because he wants to wait to the last possible second because that gives the receiver another half second to get open. So I think that there was a bit of regression there against the Bills. And again, I don't think I'm concerned about continuing throughout the rest of the year. I do think you have to be concerned that when there is a game where Mahomes is being heavily pressured, and if it happens in the playoffs, it's going to be a big deal. If there's a game where he is heavily pressured, that you will see those tendencies come back up again. And then that makes him operate out of timing. And I don't know that any of the receivers had a great day. I don't know that Andy Reid had a great day schematically for the Bills game. Frankly, I don't know that anybody had a great day there, certainly not on offense. And I don't know, the defense had its own problems, obviously. I had higher expectations for the offense, and I know that Josh Allen is good, and I know where the Chiefs' pass rush problems are. all that to say, I think there's a team effort of a lot of things snowballing against Buffalo, but I'm absolutely with you. That's something I've been talking about this week, too. I think we're on the same page. You cannot get a hurried Patrick Mahomes and get the best version of Patrick Mahomes, and he knows that better than we do.
What's your way too early prediction? Will Joshua Simmons immediately get his starting job back? My assumption is it'll be Moore and Taylor, and if anybody gets hurt or stinks, Simmons will be on the call immediately, but then he won't actually start on Sunday against the Broncos a week from Sunday.
I will first say I don't have any insight.
No, I'm just guessing.
Your guess, your gut. My assumption has been that he will just step right back in. Ooh, I honestly hadn't even really thought about it that much, which might mean that you're onto something there. I guess it might depend a little bit on how these last several weeks of communication went and what kind of physical shape he's coming back in. I mean, I don't know if he hasn't been able to work out during the last 4 weeks, and yet maybe he shouldn't immediately start. You know, obviously him being back in the facilities for the bye week, I think, is a very good sign in terms of just getting him back up to speed on stuff. But yeah, I mean, obviously he hasn't been in the meeting, so it's not just like he was even, you know, in meetings and going to do rehab and getting through an injury or something. So there are enough question marks there that I do think that's a good question to ask, even though I haven't considered it a ton. The other thing is that I'm curious what the state of Juwan Taylor's health ends up being. Because you mentioned, hey, if one of those guys goes down, I think there's at least a chance that next week comes around that it's just Josh Simmons and Jalen Moore at left and right tackle since Taylor didn't finish that game. Now, Taylor's had that knee injury that's just been lingering for over a year now. And so maybe the bye week is just what Juwan Taylor needs to get back to the way he was playing before the Bills game. That was his worst game in a while,
at least. It was bad.
And so again, like I want to be optimistic that the guy we saw the previous four or five games or whatever is still out there. But yeah, I think if Juwan Taylor isn't good to go, then I think that decision gets forced, obviously. I don't think you're essentially playing Wanya Morris over Josh Simmons on his first time back. But I think my hope would be that Simmons is in a place where he's ready to go right away and the Chiefs just give him the keys again.
In totality, do you think that this is a more talented team than last year's team?
Yes, I do. I think maybe it's also specifically like more talented where it matters the most. Again, I think
offensive line, weapons.
Yes. The O-line is still the first thing, and obviously the wide receiver situation is much, much better, which you wouldn't have known from the Bills game, which is frustrating. I think that's one of the reasons that game is so jarring, because the two places where it is significantly better than it was last year's O-line and wide receiver, we started to see the glimpses of that in those previous couple of weeks with Rashee Rice back especially. But I do think it's a more talented group. I think the defense has such an obvious weakness in the pass rush that I'm – you know, it's a frustrating one to look at and kind of just acknowledge that flatly. But no, I do think it's a better, I think the overall health of the group is in a better place.
For sure.
Because of the offensive line and the wide receivers.
Briscoe, quick Chiefs sidestep for just a minute, because I feel like you're a guest qualified to comment on this. Phil Mickelson's been going back and forth with Pablo Torre. He had found some maybe possible cases of insider trading, which is a reminder he has been guilty of before. Phil said, I know from experience that being in the public eye makes me a frequent target for sensationalized media coverage. I get that it comes with the territory, but there are no legal limits on false reports. Then the writer who was on Pablo's podcast says, we stand by our fact-checked, legally vetted reporting and provided you with multiple chances to comment prior to publication. Is Phil Mickelson picking a fight with Pablo Torre equivalent to when Drake picked on Kendrick and it's a huge mistake? He's digging up dirt on everybody. Stay out of that man's purview.
Your last statement there is the truest. I really like Pablo Torre. I think at some point we've maybe interacted briefly on social media at some point over the years. I don't have anything to hide, Cody. I live a very transparent life, and I certainly don't have Phil Mickelson's money. But I don't even want Pablo Torre to know I exist for a little while.
If you heard Pablo Torre was looking into you like, oh God, what did I do?
Yes. No. If I found out that Pablo Torre was calling like my friends and family or employers or whatever, I think I would try to get a hold of him. Just be like, hey man, tell me what you know. Maybe I should know what's happening here, because clearly you are going to, as the show title infers, you are going to find out. I cannot sure. Like, and he was ahead of the curve on this last round of NBA related gambling ring nonsense. Like, they were talking about that in June or July, I think. I cannot imagine the arrogance that must be required to pick up a fight with Pablo Torre right now. But I look at who's doing it, and I do see a couple of common threads.
Like, if I were Phil, man, I just don't say anything. Just be quiet and hope they forget
you
exist.
Phil Mickelson, you have all, just go. I mean, yeah, I don't. Look, I know we needed more than 30 minutes to talk about all the ways that Bo Nix is a disappointment to the sport of football. Mm-hmm. If you want to take another 30 minutes, I'll delay my future plans. We can just talk about the idea of incredibly, incredibly wealthy people not enjoying having any of their things looked at by a journalist.
Yeah, I got to be honest. If I was that wealthy, I'd just stay out of trouble. You know, just live my life.
It was so easy.
Go to the beach.
It was so easy. And by the way, you don't need Mark Cuban or Steve Ballmer money or Phil Mickelson money. There's a lot less money that would send me to a beach. If I'm James Franklin, I'm not looking for work.
Like, I said the same thing. If they gave me one of those coaches' buyouts and they said $50 million, but it's only $25 million if you don't look for work, you'd be like, well, I'll be done looking for work. And you'll never hear from me again. I'll be like a ghost, that guy Cody, who maybe once hosted radio for a while.
Right. That's the thing also that I feel like we have to make the subtext text. We do radio. We like a little public eye. Mm-hmm. We like talking about sports and having people hear our voices and whatever happens to our souls as children that led us to microphones and thinking, I deserve to talk into one of these. Whatever sickness that got us here, we're here. Do you know how easy it would be for me to deactivate my Twitter account if I knew what my bank account looked like? I feel like that would be an easy, easy win that a lot of these people just refuse to take.
It's true. Briscoe, really appreciate the time here on a Friday, obviously. Chiefs bye week, so we'll catch up with you next week, and then hopefully, even though the Raiders couldn't come through with us, maybe the Steelers can get the win against the Chargers this weekend.
I just can't wait to preview the 17-14 Chiefs win over the Broncos we're all going to enjoy next week. It's going to be fun.
Should be a good time. Thanks, Briscoe. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you later, Cody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.